And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Some components of the Ohio coronavirus relief legislation is directly related to public schools. It changes mandatory state testing, it limits ed choice, and it expands distance learning opportunities to make up for those missed school days. So let's talk about it now with Cincinnati Federation of Teachers President Julie Sellers. Julie, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, how are you today?
We're doing very well, and thank you for joining us. How are teachers doing right now? This is such a strange time for your profession.
I think most teachers are feeling very overwhelmed. You know, they were just given hours to try to figure this out, how to do online instruction, and many of the schools closed without any notice because there were, you know, potential risks within some buildings. So some students and teachers left their building without really having the time to take with them everything that they need and everything that they're going to need, such as their exams, their computers, and all of that. So, you know, it was done very last minute, and it was no fault of anyone, but that's just the way the whole plan rolled out.
And what are you hearing, I wonder, from parents who are filling in sort of as teachers themselves in this new era of public homeschooling?
I am hearing from parents that they are totally overwhelmed, that there is so much being put on their plate. The expectation for the schedules for students is almost too much for their family. Their parents are trying to figure out how to work at home, just like teachers are trying to figure out how to work at home. And sometimes they have multiple ages of children. I know that a lot of teachers have said that their teenage children, especially those of high poverty, are picking up extra shifts at their jobs. So they are the people who are working frontline in the grocery stores, Walmarts, fast food restaurants that have drive-through. So they are trying to do what they can to be able to make their ends meet also. So it's really difficult. Everybody is trying to figure this out right now. And I think that we just have to, everybody needs to just take a deep breath and not worry about every little assignment, and do as much as they can do.
We're talking to Julie Sellers. She is the president of the Cincinnati Federation of Teachers. Julie, how many teachers do you represent?
About 3,000. And that's not with the subs. There's about 3,200 with subs.
Okay, and we brought you on to talk about a variety of issues, but particularly the coronavirus relief legislation that came out of the legislature in Columbus. What was your reaction to that bill?
I was really pretty happy when the summary came out. I haven't read through every page of the bill, but I have read through the complete summary. I think that they did address many of concerns with districts, but there's still a lot from this legislation to then take it over to operating practice and guidance through ODE. And on Friday, I am co-chair of the Ohio 8, which is the 8 urban districts of Ohio. It is the union presidents and the superintendents, and we have monthly calls. Now we're currently having weekly calls on how to work through all of this with teachers and students. And so on Friday, the two co-chairs were invited to an advisory committee with the governor and ODE to try to work out some of the guidance and the law from House Bill 197.
Do you think there will be lasting impact to the way public schools conduct themselves, the way the state deals with public schools based on this very strange experience we're all going through?
I think it may change some aspects of education as we move forward. I think that it may give teachers some additional resources for their students. But I really think that every parent out there knows homeschooling isn't as easy as they thought it would be. And being with their kids doing instruction for all day long is more difficult than what most people would imagine.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the details that are in this legislation. One way that the state tests kids and grades schools. Can you talk a little bit about the way the report card grading of schools may need to change?
I know that there were about 50 hours of testimony around the Ed Choice bill that was going to be passed on April the 1st. And when all over the state, superintendents, school boards, teachers, parents were coming together, the same topics were unfolding. And they were realizing that the state report card has flaws in their measures and the state testing has flaws in the testing, and that those things need to be addressed before we have so many punitive measures put onto districts that impact their funding annually.
And there's this expansion of distance learning, and that's to help make up for the missed school days. We know there are a certain number of days that schools need to be in session by law. How does this help?
I do think that this is helping because it is allowing schools to, this is all counting as missed days so that we're not trying to make up days at the end of the year. We're not trying to carry over through the next school year. I think some of the online and at-home learning was in place for a short-term period. And I think now people are starting to realize that this is becoming a longer-term issue for families and districts. And so I don't know how sustainable it will be as we go on week after week after week. I think that families are struggling, and I don't know how much they're going to be able to keep up. But in reality, what is the real issue that we're facing? We made it through three quarters. The fourth quarter is usually focused on a lot of testing and then a lot of enrichment. So every indicator that teachers and standard that teachers are expected to teach have already been taught. So this time period should just be enrichment and opportunities for, you know, practice. It's not something that should be new material that anyone is providing.
So this distance learning is challenging enough for families and educators alike, but throughout public school districts, there are students who have special needs that receive individualized instruction. I believe teachers refer to these as IEPs. Can you talk a little bit about how those children are being served during this period?
Well, their teachers, the intervention specialists, and the support personnel who serves them based on their IEP. Right now, they're making sure that all IEPs will remain ongoing. We don't want those to expire. So families and teachers and principals are setting up the meetings for those renewals to happen so that we know where we're going. I'm sure that there will be some kids who will be getting some compensatory time after we go back. But the state is saying that we cannot put any teachers in harm's way. I saw in other states where they had teachers who were sitting outside of children's dorm doors trying to do lessons at their home. That's not realistic. So I think that everybody is doing as much as they can do. I do worry about the high-need students, especially the homeless population, the English language learners, students with disabilities, that they're getting as much as they need to get through this pandemic as much as the rest of us. And theirs is a daily survival, I think, in some cases.
Well, in spite of all of the difficulties, there are some very interesting stories emerging as well, and I hope you'll share some with us now. I'd like to hear a little bit about some of the stories that are coming back to you from the teachers on the front lines. I understand that there's some reading time set up with kindergartners and teddy bears and guitars. Can you share some of those stories?
Oh, yeah. There's some of the teachers, it's so exciting because of technology. they are having Google Classrooms where they are setting up in their home, like a story time with where they are doing songs and stories with students at a certain time where students can log on to that. It's pretty amazing how teachers have really stepped up and they are doing all of these extra things. You know, small children, it's their first experience and they have such a great relationship with their teachers. And so they really do miss them at this time. I know the teachers are missing the students. And so it's a great opportunity for them to be able to see one another through a Google Classroom, for example.
And can you tell us a little bit about the group of teachers volunteering with La Soup, which is the organization that takes some, like, I don't want to say discarded, but soon to expire stuff from restaurants, and they repurpose it into good nutritional meals. What's going on with that?
Right now, you know, there's 22 locations where families can pick up their the lunches and the breakfast and lunch for students in schools. And while they are there, CPS is not allowed to give out any non-CPS food items. And so each location has a champion that they have partnered with. And Cincinnati Federation of Teachers have partnered with LEAF Academy, which is on the west side. And we go Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 10:30 to 1 o'clock. And we are additional food for the family that they can use for evening meals or for weekends. We've given out bags of food that had macaroni and cheese and vegetables and some snacks, some granola bars. But we've also given out, and those were all made up by the Department of Student Services manager. And so that was a great addition for many families. We've given out the soup on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, which is frozen quarts of soup that are all organic. They've passed out vegetables, fruits, and different food that they have access to. I know that La Soup has recently expanded. They've moved into a new restaurant to use a larger kitchen so that they can continue with their work. But we've also given students school supplies from crayons to computers. We've given out books that we are ordering. There's a teacher who is who's very active with the Cincinnati Federation of Teachers. She's an author. She had donations. She's giving two books per family of books that she has written. And it's just been, and every day P&G gave us bags and bags of hygiene products that we've been passing out.
Well, Julie, we are just about out of time, but it sounds like your organization and the teachers are responding to this call of duty. And I thank you so much for coming on and telling us a little bit about it. Hopefully we can have you back on and see how the rest of the school year went. Thanks so much for being with us, Julie.